Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Merry, Merry Christmas. I'm saying that because I'm probably not going to get a chance to say it to you again between now and actual Christmas Day. Advent approaches its climax with the celebration of the birth of the Lord on Christmas Day. And we got, a fun show planned for you today. First hour, we're going to take just kids' questions. It's going to be all kids' questions. Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of almost every Catholic book published this year. Trent Horn, how are you?
I'm doing well. Sometimes I wonder, a lot of people suggest that I do the kids' question shows. I don't know if it's because I'm a kid at heart or I look like I just barely escaped childhood yesterday, but I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I don't think it's because you're a kid at heart, because if we're going for a kid at heart, I think Jimmy wins that one, even though he's the most kid at heart we've got, don't you?
He really is. Jimmy is basically an amalgamation of every 9-year-old boy in his basement looking at comic books spread across the floor with action figures not taken out of the box, all bundled together with a large Catholic encyclopedia.
Yeah, right. If you did that, if you put that together,
would be Jimmy Akin and add a beard.
Right. And if it came from the future to kill John Connor,
save the church with an impressive amount of knowledge, but. That's neither here nor there.
So, but there's a little twist on the kids' show this hour, and we'll get to that. Second hour, we're going to do game show, and Carlo Broussard will be our top secret guest. We always like to have a secret celebrity come in as our guest, and that will be Carlo Broussard today. Kids' show, usually we say just dial the phone, and we'd be happy to take your call, and we're going to say that today. If you are a kid or you got one, then just dial 888-318-7884. We're happy to take any question you have about faith or religion. But we also have some of the kids from here at Catholic Answers.
We do.
And we have cookies and we have hot chocolate. We won't be able to give that to the kids who call in, but the kids who come in can have the cookies and hot chocolate.
Could we put some of the hot chocolate like in an envelope and mail it to them?
We could. I am thinking that might not be a... I don't know if that's a good strategy there, Trent Horn, but you can have some hot chocolate if you want.
I'll have their hot chocolate then.
That's just mean to say that with two
marshmallows.
888-318-7884.
A tiny bit of peppermint. Just a tiny bit of peppermint.
is the number today.
That was very Julia Childs.
And now we'll put in some peppermint.
I wasn't sure if you were being Julia Childs or one of like little Cindy Lou Who. Do you know who's Cindy? You're familiar with Cindy Lou Who.
Of the Whoville?
Yeah, of Whoville.
Oh, yes.
She's the one that I think she melted the Grinch's heart.
Well, if anything, she probably helped. The Grinch had a probably fatal heart condition when it grew 3 times its ordinary size.
No, it was 3 sizes too small. It grew to its normal size. Oh. It grew to normal size. But oh. It was 3 sizes too small before. 888-318-7884. If you're young, you're young enough that you need your parents' permission, ask your parents' permission and maybe you can give a call. 888-318-7884. If you've got a kid that you think, oh, they got my kid or my grandkid or they got a good question, help them dial 888-318-7884. This is not nepotism. Our first question. It's not nepotism that our first question comes from the son of the president of Catholic Answers. It's not like we received intense pressure from the president of Catholic Answers to put his son on
Catholic
first.
Catholic Answers believes in promoting family values almost as much as we promote family members.
Right, and we believe in doing what the boss says, too. Those are two things.
That's true.
I have to say, Nathaniel Check is one of my favorite people. He's a very fine man. We cruised the St. Lawrence River together one time. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
And
with everyone else. Well,
it was
with the Catholic Answers cruise. Yeah.
And that's when I got to know Nathaniel. And he really is a fine young man. And you came prepared with a question, Nathaniel?
I did.
All right. Whenever you are ready.
Excellent.
So, ho, little boy, what question do you have on our Christmas-themed Catholic Answers Q&A?
If Trent does that again, can we just cut the mic when it starts? Sorry, just cut.
All right, I'm prepared now. All right,
Nathaniel.
So my question is, at the institution of the Eucharist, when Christ or at the Last Supper, when he was instituting the Eucharist, how could Jesus have been offering up his body and blood if he had not yet fulfilled the covenant through his sacrifice on the cross?
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, that is a complex question.
We'll take a break while Trent looks that up. No, go ahead, Trent.
No, that's a good question, Nathaniel. And I think, so the essence of your question is, how can Jesus offer up his gloriously resurrected body and blood under the presence of the Eucharist if that event had not happened yet during the course of the Last Supper when the Eucharist was instituted? I think what we have to remember is that when events happen in the universe, we have different vantage points for them. So we use phrases like "did not happen yet" means it was not presently visible to everyone on that very first Holy Thursday at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. But as paragraph 600 of the Catechism says, all moments of time are immediately present to God. And so God is able, can apply effects from different moments in time into other moments in order to accomplish his will. For example, like when we talk about how Mary could have been immaculately conceived, she received sanctifying grace, the grace that Christ merited on the cross for her, that was applied to her conception, even though that took place, you know, 40, 44 years before Christ was ever crucified.
Right.
So a similar thing here, that if we think that God has sovereign dominion over not only all places, but all times, he can apply the effects and the merits and those things that happen at different times to other points within the timeline of his own creation, including what would happen later in the future on the first Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, to apply to the Eucharist being instituted on Holy Thursday. So I think that for us, we just have to stretch our minds a bit to get in the perspective of God, who is outside of time itself, to imagine how God, who is all-powerful, can do that. So I don't know if that's a helpful way to look at it.
No, that helped a lot. Yeah, I think I understand a little bit better now.
Okay, great.
Nathaniel, thanks very much for coming in and being our first question.
My pleasure.
We're going on a cruise this year. Did you know that? I don't know if Nathaniel's going.
I might not.
You might not?
School's okay. Got me down.
Oh, school. Yeah, there is that little matter. But in any case, Catholic Answers will be cruising on February 10th through 17th in the Caribbean. Or do you say Caribbean?
No comment.
I believe the artist Billy Ocean settled that once for all. It's Caribbean Queen.
Oh, Caribbean. Yeah, Queen. Caribbean. Okay, that does help.
So I think so. But also, if you're not available for that, Nathaniel, you and others can consider that this summer, at the end of summer, I'll be leading a pilgrimage to Greece in the footsteps of St. Paul. So you or anyone else who's interested in that, going to Greece, Ephesus, the island of Patmos, where the book of Revelation was written, can check that out at Greece2019.com.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Chris. Okay, boss. That's okay. All right. We did. We satisfied the boss. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to call. Shall we get another questioner in here? Are we ready to go, Eric? Or
sure.
Yes. All right. Eric Gustafson. Gustafson. That's what I said. Didn't I say it right? Okay. Eric, I won't attempt to do his job title, but basically you know who Eric is if you understand that if you needed a screwdriver or anything else that might actually accomplish a task, Eric's the only one in the building who knows where they are. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Your actual job title is what?
They call me the production manager.
Oh, production manager. Okay, very cool. And who do you have with you?
This is my son, Joseph.
And Joseph has a sister as well. Is that correct? What's your sister's name, Joseph?
Emma.
Is she here?
Yeah.
Okay, there she is out there. Hi, Emma. Joseph, do you have a question for Trent Horn?
How far is Bethlehem?
Oh, what an excellent question. But I forgot to ask you how old you are. You're five. Okay, great. So how far is Bethlehem from where do you live? Here in California?
Yeah.
So how far is it from California?
Well, Joseph, Bethlehem is pretty far away from here. I don't know the exact miles, but when I went and visited there, I flew on a plane. Do you know how long I flew on a plane to get there?
Mm-mm.
No. I flew 16 hours to get there.
Wow.
So it was a really long time from here. But you know what? When the wise men went to go visit Jesus and the Holy Family, it might have taken them about a day to get there, maybe about the same amount of time, but they went a lot slower because they probably went on camels and horses. So Bethlehem is just a few miles away from Jerusalem, but you could get there in about a day if you're riding on a camel. So does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
Hey, Joseph, do you, I guess, do you like, I don't know if I guess it on here, we'll see what happens. Are you looking forward? Maybe in a few days I could bring Matthew over to come play with you. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you knew Matthew.
Yeah, they have really fun playtime together and all that. So would that be good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Joseph, who was born in Bethlehem? Do you know?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. All right. So you can answer the questions. Maybe if we get a really hard one, we'll call you in. We got to take a break now. Thank you for coming in, Joseph.
Welcome.
And thank you, Eric.
You got it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Kids Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. I'm looking out now. A lot of kids are here now. They must have heard there's cookies.
Look at that really joyful one over there. Oh, wait, that's Tim Staples.
Yeah, that's the big kid.
There's one kid really excited about those cookies.
So let's take that break. If you call, we'll do our very best to get your question to Trent. But we also have a whole bunch of the kids from the Catholic Answers family here today and Christmas cookies. And we'll get more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Bishop Jeffrey Monfort, Bishop of the Diocese of Steubenville. Make sure you keep it on Catholic Answers Live. God bless you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
It's the start of a new day and a new year for Morning Glory.
What are you listening to when you're getting ready to get the kids to school? What are you listening to on that drive-in that's going to wake up your spirit and begin your day focusing and thinking about the faith?
You're going to know you're listening to people that care about what you're doing. We want you to get to heaven, too. We all want to get there together. And we can have fun doing it.
So it's like your morning cup of coffee for your soul.
Me included.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers joins Gloria Purvis and the Morning Glory team Monday, January 14th on EWTN Radio.
Oh, we're having so much fun getting ready for Christmas here at Catholic Answers. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and it is a family party here now at Catholic Answers. We got cookies, we got hot chocolate, and we have lots of the kids from the Catholic Answers family here to ask questions of Trent Horn. If you'd like to call, you're also welcome to call with your questions for Trent Horn if you're a kid, because it's Kids Open Forum. 888-318-7884 is the number. Up next is Rose. Rose, are you a kid?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Okay. All right. I just needed to make sure. And how old are you, Rose?
10.
And Rose, which of these families do you belong to out here? What's the last name of your family?
Staples.
So I'm guessing that Tim Staples, your dad, works here. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, Rose, your question for Trent Horn.
My question is, how could there be three persons and one God without there being three gods?
Wow, we get another one.
Trent is stunned. Not only that, her dad is watching this answer. So,
are you sure you don't want to know how far away Bethlehem is? I was good at answering that one.
Far away, 16 hours.
Sure. Well, I think, Rose, in order to answer that question, people say, well, how could God be three persons? Isn't that three gods? A lot of times we think the word God means a special kind of person. And that's where people make the mistake and they have a hard time understanding who God is. Like, we think God is just one person with a lot of powers who's like a big genie that sits outside of the universe and looks at everything. But God is not a person like you or I. So what God is just perfect existence. So perfect being existence. So anything that's true, good, and beautiful, those perfections are just in God. So God is the reason anything is. So the reason your dad's here, the reason that I'm here, you're here. The only reason stuff exists is because God is existence, okay? So things that exist, we make a difference between a being and a person, all right? So a being is just something that's real. And a person is something that's real, that's a who, that, you know, relates to other people. Like, you're a person, I'm a person. Cy Kellett, amazingly enough, he's a person too.
I am a person. He doesn't always admit it, so but I am a person.
So some beings are only how many persons are there? Like when I have this cell phone, how many persons is that? Is this cell phone a person? But it exists, right?
So it's a being, but not a person. Does that make sense to you, Rose?
Yeah. So this cell phone, it exists. So it has being. It's real, but it's zero persons. Now, you and I, we exist and we're beings. How many persons are you?
One.
Right. How many persons am I?
One.
Okay. So there can be beings, things that exist that are no persons. And there can be beings that exist like you and me who are one person. Now, you and I, we couldn't be more than one person because we're limited. You know, we only exist in this little tiny part of this universe. We're limited. There's things we can and can't do. But God, he's unlimited. God can do anything that's possible. God isn't limited by space or time. God isn't limited by anything except his own perfect nature. So because God is unlimited, he can be more than one person. That's something you and I can't do. So the way God can be a trinity or three persons is that there are limited beings that are zero persons and limited beings that are one person, like you or I. But since God is unlimited being, nothing restricts him, he can be more than one person. So the Bible, did you know the Bible says that God is love? Right? Okay. So if God is love, when you love someone, it's a way to relate. You love another person. So, you know, your parents love you and you love them. When we say God is love, that makes sense that if God is more than one person, to say God is love, then the Father and Son, that is the love they give to one another that becomes the Holy Spirit. So we start to see, I see how God could be more than one person, because if he's love, love gives itself to other people. We don't share it all just within one person. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming by.
Rose, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
At nighttime, do you ever get holy water on you?
Yes.
How does that happen, that you get holy water on you at nighttime? Does someone put it on you?
Well, yeah, my dad does.
Oh, I had heard that. I had heard that your dad puts holy water on you. Rose Staples, you did a really great job. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much. And I think, is that your brother who's going to be up next?
Yes.
Yep. Luke Staples is next. And while you guys are switching, I'm going to go to a boy who called on the phone. Okay? So you guys go ahead and switch. And I'll have David from Minnesota. Are you there, David, from Minnesota?
Yeah.
And how old are you, David?
7.
And what is your question, David?
Why does God make things that hurt you?
Oh, why does God make things that hurt you?
David, I ask myself that every time when I step on a rock in the backyard, when I try to go to get my kids' toys, and I wonder, why do these things have to be extra pokey? When you talk about things that hurt you, do you have something in mind?
Are you thinking of anything in particular?
Is there...
You were talking about...
Is it like a bug or an animal? Is that what you mean?
He said yes.
He said yes. Okay.
Okay, so let's go.
Okay, so David, let's go with, you know, why would God make animals that hurt us? Well, here's the thing that, David, when God made our first parents, when he made Adam and Eve, he gave them these preternatural gifts. He gave them gifts so that they wouldn't die and they wouldn't suffer. So even if there were animals that had like sharp teeth or, you know, sharp claws or things like that, that wouldn't have hurt our very first parents because they had this special grace from God that they wouldn't die and they wouldn't suffer. They'd be protected from things in the world that could hurt them. But now here's the problem. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. So they lost that grace that gave them that protection. And so now the world could hurt them and they could die. And because they lost that grace, we didn't get to, it wasn't passed on to us. So now things in this world can hurt us, but we have hope because Jesus came and died for us. We have hope that even though we will die, we won't go away forever, that we'll be raised and we'll live forever in heaven with Jesus. So God understood that there might be some bad things that happen in this life, but he always makes sure it works out for good in the end because God can do anything and he knows everything. And he loves you and me with more love than you can imagine. So I hope that helps you to understand why there's things that might hurt us in this life, but in the scheme of eternity, everything will be okay. So I hope that helps you.
Does that help, David?
Yeah.
All right, David, thanks so much for calling. And since we can't give you any cookies or hot chocolate over the phone, just stay on the phone and Marie will come and ask your mom if it's all right if we send you another present. Okay, David?
It's okay.
Okay, hang on. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, David. Next up, here in the studio with us is another one of the Staples children. This is Luke Staples. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Trent.
That one's Trent.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you promoted me. I'm not that smart. But thanks very much. What is your question for Trent, Luke?
Well, my question is, how could God become man if he can't change? Because he's a divine person, and he as a divine person doesn't change.
What do you all do over at the Staples house? Like, do you have like philosophy class to start every day? Okay, that's another tough one for Trent Horn. How can God become a man if God can't change? Am I about right?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. And Luke, that's a very good question. And you would be right that if God were a divine person, if Jesus, God the Son, were a divine person, and then in the incarnation, if he became a human person like you or me, if he became a human person, then that would be a change in God. And that's not possible because God is divine. So we say that he's immutable. Nothing changes in God. However, some things change in relation to God. So, for example, if I worked out like a super ton, like if I just hit the bench press all the time and I got really buff.
Like Carlo.
Well, if I worked out so hard and I got more muscles than your dad.
That'd be a lot of
work. Which would
out.
Be a ton of work, right? Because your dad's a pretty big guy. We would say, you know, that your dad became less buff than me. But guess what? Nothing changed in him. The change was in me. Nothing changed in him.
Oh.
The change was in me. Even though we say that, you know, he became, you know, less buff than me, which is a metaphysical impossibility given my lifestyle. So when God interacts with the world, those changes happen in relation to God, but nothing changes in God. So when God creates the world, he doesn't like get a new title like I've now become a creator. We've changed. We've come into existence in relation to him. So when God became man, what happened there was the divine person of God the Son, nothing changed in God the Son. What happened was that human nature forever changed because human nature was joined to the Son's divine nature. And in that way, human nature could be redeemed and could be saved. So what might look like God changed, because now God has a human nature, nothing changed in the divine person in that subject. Instead, the divine person, his divine nature, now is fully united with a human nature. So it wasn't Jesus that changed when he acquired a human nature. It was human nature itself. We all changed in that now we can be united to him. So that's a way to help us look and understand that God doesn't change, but it can seem that way because of how he affects the world. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay,
all
great.
Right. All right, Luke, thank you very, very much for coming in. Are you getting any hot chocolate or cookies while you're out there or no?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, if you accidentally throw one back to me when you go out there, that would be fine, Luke. No one would be sad if that happened.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks
Take
for
care,
being here,
Luke.
I
don't have a call, so I think, but you're straight up next, Bella. Come on over. Bella, you are not one of the Staples. I am fairly certain of it. And so who do you belong to here at Catholic Answers, Bella?
I'm sisters with Emily and Grace Sanchez.
Emily and Grace Sanchez. Emily is the assistant to the president here, and Grace is – I still do not know Grace's title. She just does everything. So do you know what her title is?
I don't know.
And how old are you, Bella?
17.
And you have a question for Trent?
I do, yeah. I was wondering, is there any way to tell how many souls are in heaven and heaven and hell, and – is there are there more souls in one of the places?
Sure. The church has not defined or officially taught what proportion of humanity has been saved. This is something that different church fathers and theologians have speculated about through church history, but there isn't a magisterial teaching about, well, this is the percent of humanity that's going to go to heaven, and this is the percent that's going to go to hell. One thing that makes it hard to understand that is, you know, we might try to speculate these things about the world, but first, we are not in the place to be able to judge like God judges. Second, it's hard, even, let's say, hypothetically, the majority of people from Christ until now were going to heaven or hell. What if the human race lasts another 10,000 years? It could change up a lot after that.
Yeah.
So we'll put a bow on this answer, Mary, okay, right when we come back, okay?
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, so stick with us.
Hang on, Bella. I just asked what your sister Grace's title is. I was told she's in development. That's not a title. Is that... They're hiding it from me for some reason. It's Kids Open Forum this hour on Catholic Answers Live. You're welcome to call 888-31-TRUTH if you're a kid and you have a question. If not, we've got lots of kids here today.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new resources by Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Christopher Check, and other great Catholic teachers, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
Monday on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, the game show with Carlo Broussard as our top secret guest. This hour, Trent Horn is here with us, and we're taking kids' questions on any aspect of the Catholic faith, on religion, or maybe even a philosophical question or two. They're all welcome. If you'd like to get in on that, 888-318-7884 is the number. She stayed in studio with us, Bella, who is the sister of two folks who work here at Catholic Answers, Emily and Grace Sanchez. And so you are. I'll let you two take it from there. I'm not going to try to sum it up again.
So, Bella, you asked the question: will more people be in heaven or more people be in hell? That's the essence of your question. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking in the break, I know we were saying like you were like, is that a good question to ask? Like, that's a super good question to ask. Okay. A lot of people have struggled with this. In fact, it was a question that was posed to Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 13, it says that Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem.
Okay.
And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." So as I said before the break, the church has not defined or officially taught what proportion of humanity will be saved or will be damned.
Okay.
Now, different church fathers and theologians have speculated about this, and many church fathers held to the view that the majority of the human population would not be saved. To take how Jesus' words mean, just many will not. Mm-hmm. There's also another way that one could take these words, that if we think of God as being a father, and that for a father to ever lose how many children for a father to lose in his life, like if how many of your own children would be too many for you to lose to some kind of a tragic death or a drug addiction? I think most would say one is too many. Yeah. So if we look at it in that way, that many can mean large numbers of people, more than any loving father in heaven would ever want, but not necessarily a majority proportion.
Okay.
So, and as I said before the break, we're just not in a position to know that. It also could be the case that throughout history right now, a majority of people were not saved. But if humanity continues for, let's say, another 10,000 years, there could be a great change in the human community, within the church and evangelization, mm-hmm. where it's counterbalanced in the next 10 millennia. We just don't know. All we know, I think Peter Crafe put it well. He said when this question was posed, that Jesus, he liked to say Jesus emphasized strive to enter as being the answer. That sometimes we spend a lot of time morbidly obsessing whether other people will be saved, that we can neglect the only thing we have control over, which is whether you or I will be saved.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That does, yeah.
Great.
I guess also you can, you kind of get like a little bit of an idea, but by all the saints, because they're all in heaven, but you don't really know anything about hell.
Oh, right, yeah. We don't have a lot of dispatches from hell.
Yeah,
we had a few appearance, apparitions, people claiming these sorts of things. There's Jesus told the story about the rich man who didn't take care of Lazarus and wanted to go and tell his brothers not to meet the same fate as him. But yeah, it's hard to know that, and that's why on November 1st we celebrate All Saints Day, because the saints that are canonized represent a very, very tiny fraction of the saints that are in heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people who are saints just weren't in the time and place to have good PR for us to know really good stories about them.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
Like your sisters, Grace and Emily. They're very saintly.
Yeah.
If your sisters are ever up for being canonized, the Vatican used to have an office. It was called the Devil's Advocate. You ever heard that phrase, to play Devil's Advocate? Have you heard that before?
They don't talk like that in her family.
Oh, okay.
They're very holy.
To play the devil's advocate would be if you believe something, but you might say, let's just say that this person's wrong. I believe them, but let's say they're wrong. I'm going to play devil's advocate. The Vatican used to have an office where a cardinal or a priest would say, I'm going to try to make my best case that this person should not be canonized.
Wow.
And so if they pass that test, then we really know that they're really holy. They don't have that office anymore, but besides bringing that up, you could say, if your sisters are up for it, you could say, I'd like to be interviewed, please. So
then you could be the devil's advocate.
Yeah,
perfect.
You could.
Great.
Bella, would you mind helping Catherine get all set up?
That'd be super helpful.
And I'm going to go to the phones while you do that. Thanks, Bella. Thanks very much. Another of the Sanchez sisters. On the line, we have Alexa from Tucson, Arizona. Are you there, Alexa?
Yep.
And how old are you, Alexa?
I am 10.
You are 10. Okay. And you have a question for Trent Horn. Go ahead. You're with your question.
Why is there so many wars if God likes peace?
That's a good question, Alexa. And ultimately, the answer is because people who choose to go to war choose to not obey the God of peace. In fact, the Bible says that God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so the reason there are so many wars is when people allow hate and anger in their heart, or envy and covetousness, they desire what other people have, when they break God's law. And God, even though he's a God of peace and love, he still respects our freedom to choose to disobey him, whether it's in small matters, like when we, get mad and angry at our brothers and sisters, or big matters, when whole countries get mad and angry at one another. But Alexa, there's actually a really good thing that when you might think there's a ton of wars right now because, when you turn on the news is always trying to tell bad things because grown-ups get obsessed with watching bad things on the news. But that isn't the way the world truly is. It can be distorted. But when you look at history as a whole, as the word of God has gone throughout the whole world, as people have evangelized the entire world and have learned about Jesus, there's actually a lot less wars than there were a long time ago. Did you know that the Bible says that in the Old Testament, it says that every spring was called the season when kings went to do battle. So in the ancient world, when Jesus and the people in the Bible lived, every spring, when it got warm enough, people just went out and fought each other. Unfortunately, we don't live in a time like that now. We actually live in a really peaceful time because the word of God has gone throughout the whole world. So actually, God's word has helped to create more peace, even though it may not look like that if you watch the news. So is that a helpful answer?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Alexa, if you hang on and get the permission of your mom or dad, whoever is there with you, we'd like to send you a present since we won't be able to share our cookies and chocolate, our hot chocolate with you. Thanks very much, Alexa. Now in the studio with us is, and your name is Pete William Chuckles. Okay, your name is what?
Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. And your last name, Catherine?
Staples.
You are another of the Staples children. It's nice to have you here. I'm very, very jealous of your sparkly dinosaur shirt. That is an awesome sparkly dinosaur shirt. Did you have a question that you wanted to ask Trent?
Well, how could God save two people at once?
Well, Catherine, first I would say that God can do anything that's possible. God can make the possible actual. Nothing. God never runs out of power. He can do anything that can be done. What do you mean God saves two people at once? Could you tell me a little more about that?
Like if they're actually dead, how could he save them both at the same time?
Oh, so two people died at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But God brings them both to heaven, saves them, and brings them both to heaven. How can he do that if there's two different people that died at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
Well, you can look at it this way, that because God can do anything, if he can make a whole world, think about this, if God can make a whole world from nothing, like if you could make something from nothing, what would you do if you could make something from nothing? You could do like anything, right?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, well, I bet if you could make something from nothing, you could do almost anything you could think of. It's a lot of power. In fact, we call that being all-powerful. There's a fancy word for it. It's called omnipotent. It means you're potent. You can do anything that can be done. So God, if he can take one person and bring him to heaven, he could also take two people at the same time, or three people, or four, or, I don't know, maybe millions or billions or infinite number of people. He could take them all up to heaven because God can do anything. If we can think of God doing it, he can do it because He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent is the better pronunciation. So does that help you maybe wrap your head around it a little?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get any cookies yet out there? No, you didn't?
By the way, I my son Matthew is four. He's going to be four, and he likes dinosaurs too. What is your – do you have a favorite dinosaur?
Yeah, it's the biggest one.
What's the biggest one?
You don't even know its name.
I don't. I need to ask. So I got to call Dinosaur.
Can I guess?
Dinosaur Answers Live.
Can I guess the biggest dinosaur?
Yeah.
Is it an Apatosaurus?
No.
A Brontosaurus?
No.
A Gigantosaurus?
No.
All right. Go ahead. You say it.
What is the biggest dinosaur?
On the count of three, say the biggest dinosaur. One, two, three.
I'm just kidding. It's only my favorite. It's a pterodactyl.
Oh, you
it's
like
the flying one.
You like the pterodactyl.
Flying. Got it. All right, Catherine.
All right.
Thank you for kidding with us.
You are a funny person. I'm glad you stopped by.
Well, you should go out there and get a cookie, though, because there's a lot of people out
there. There's a lot of kids out there and your dad.
Nathaniel Checkin by himself could eat about half of them. Thanks, Catherine. We have to take a break. You are up next. So you guys switch seats. We'll take a break. I want to let you know before we take this break, however, that if you visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now, you can download a free copy of our latest free ebook, Seeking the Star of Bethlehem. Head over to Facebook, go to the Catholic Answers page, and get yourself that free book, Seeking the Star of Bethlehem.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com. EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic Radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business, and so he's working by himself, and he listens to Catholic Radio, and he's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Kids Open Forum today, and since it's Christmas time, we invited all the kids from Catholic Answers, whether they're parents or grandparents, their brothers or sisters, their cousins work here. We invited them all in for cookies and chocolate milk and asked them, come on in and ask any question you've got. Last up was Catherine Staples, who is 7 years old. And in the meantime, during the break, we could not get her out of the seat. So we've still got Catherine Staples. Is there something else that you wanted to say, Catherine?
What's your favorite dinosaurs, both of you?
Okay, my favorite dinosaur is the I think it's the Triceratops. Is that the one with the three horns and the... I think that's mine, Triceratops. That or Dinosuchus, which is a giant alligator.
Dinosuchus?
That's what I meant. Dinosuchus.
Right. I think so.
Pronounce it with the old Greek pronunciation. Right.
My favorite is the same as my son Matthew. We both like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's the biggest.
He's the biggest meat eater. He's the biggest meat eater. So. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for asking us so much about dinosaurs, and you better go grab a cookie out there while there's still a few left, okay?
Mm-hmm. Bye, Catherine.
All right, bye, Catherine.
Is Max up next? Okay, Max, come on over. It's open forum here at Catholic Answers Live for kids, and Max is the next kid up, although, Max, can I guess your age? 32.
No.
I'm never good at that. How old are you, Max?
11.
11, and who do you go with here at Catholic Answers?
Emily and Grace.
Oh, another member of the Sanchez family. And Max, your question for Trent.
Why would God let us die if we're not ready for it?
What do you mean that we're not ready for it?
Like, say if you're in a car and you're driving in the freeway and then you get in a car crash.
So you're asking, why does God sometimes allow us to die, like, really quickly, like we don't know we're going to die?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason that that happens sometimes is because God gives us life. He gave us life in this world, and life is a gift from God. And it's just a precious gift, and it's kind of a mystery as to why he only gives us a certain amount. You know, he gives us a certain number of years, certain number of decades, and he doesn't always announce to us, hey, you know, you're going to die on this date. One reason that God doesn't do that is because he wants us to live out life and to treat every moment we have right now as being special, as if it were our last moment. Like if I knew, you know, oh, I'm definitely not going to die for another 10 years, then I might say, I don't need to worry about God right now. You know, I can just do whatever I want. And then right before I die, I'll fix up everything. But God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to take care of our life and to love him and to treat the life he gave us right now as being very, very special. And it is special because we don't know how long we have for it. It's a gift. And then one day God may take that gift away and we don't stop existing. Instead, we go to be judged. And if we died in God's friendship, then we'll spend eternity with him. So we should always live not like worrying like, oh, is this the last day or not? I don't know. We should always pray, Lord, if this is my last day, please let my soul be in a state of grace so I can spend the rest of my afterlife with you. So we should just treasure every moment that we have now. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Also, remember this, what the Bible tells us, that, you know, sometimes we might worry about the future or what God does. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So even like if we die and it's very sudden, we know that if we love God and God loves us, he works that towards good always, even if we can't see it right now. So is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks, Max. I want to ask you a question now. Is Max short for Maximilian?
Yes.
And are you named after, I'm just guessing now, Maximilian Kolbe?
Yes.
Oh, that's all right, Max. Thanks for coming in.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Let's see if we got anyone else who's going to come
in. And then
in
your sister Grace is going to take you out. Grace, I don't know what your job here is, but I'm glad you're here.
Wrangler. Child wrangler.
On the line, we have Eli in New York calling. Did I say that right, Eli?
Yes.
Eli, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven. We're so happy to have you here with us, Eli. Your question for Trent.
Why did Protestants take some books out of the Bible?
That's a good question, Eli. And I'm very impressed that you answered the question by you asked the question by saying, why did Protestants take books out of the Bible? Because a lot of people say, why are there more books in Catholic Bibles? But there's actually the correct number. There are some books that are called the deuterocanonical books. These are books in the Old Testament that aren't in Protestant Bibles, like Tobit and Maccabees and Wisdom and Sirach and Judith and parts of Daniel and Esther and Baruch. So those are called the deuterocanonical books. The reason Protestants took them out of the Bible is that during the Protestant Reformation, the Protestant reformers said, we want to go back to the very original sources. So they wanted to have the most authentic faith they could. And so they said, well, let's make our Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament in our Bibles, it should be the same as the Old Testament in Jewish Bibles. And if you have any Jewish friends, their Bibles don't have these Old Testament books either. But here's the thing. It wasn't always that way. That in the time of Jesus, the Old Testament included those books. And later, for reasons we don't entirely know, in the second century, so about 100 years after Jesus was crucified, a lot of Jews took those books out of their Bible, and then Protestants mistakenly followed that. But our Old Testament, Eli, is the same one that Jesus and the apostles used. And I tell you what, your parents may like this, and they could explain this more to you. We can send you a copy of a whole book on that question. My friend Gary Machuda wrote that book. It's called Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. So why don't we send, you stay on the line and make sure your parents are there, that they tell our call screener this, your address, and we can send that book and they could read it and tell you more about it. Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Eli, thank you so much for that call. It was really nice to talk with you. You just hang on the line and assistant producer Marie will talk with you. Next up, we have someone named Catherine on line one. Catherine, are you there?
Yes.
Catherine, I don't usually do this, but do you mind telling me your last name?
Broussard.
Oh, this is Catherine Broussard. And how old are you, Catherine?
Five.
Guess what? There's somebody here that I invited in the studio just to say hi to you. Do you want to say hi to Catherine Broussard?
Hi, Catherine Broussard.
You know who that is?
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you, princess?
Good.
I'm so proud of you for calling in.
Thank you.
Are you gonna ask Mr. Horn a good question? Because I'm going to let him answer it and not me, because I don't want to get it wrong.
All right, Catherine, go ahead and ask your question, and Trent Horn will answer it for you.
Did Jesus have a guardian angel?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not aware of a definitive teaching on this question, but we can assume that Jesus did, because do you remember what happened when the devil took Jesus on top of that big tower in Jerusalem? What did he ask Jesus to do? Do you remember that one?
I think he said for him to jump down.
I taught her that Bible story yet.
That is quite okay.
My lack of parenting has been manifested.
That is okay. My son probably knows more about Magic School Bus in the Bible at this point.
Magic School Bus is good.
It is
don't
good.
Pick up.
So we just
all right.
But so here's
back to Catherine.
So Catherine, in the Bible, the devil once took Jesus on top of a big tower and said, "Hey, you know, if you're God's son, prove it. Jump off. And if you really are God's son, he won't let anything bad happen to you because the Bible says that angels will catch you and won't let you dash your foot against a stone." So there we see a reference to angels that would protect Jesus, would minister to him. So I think it's safe that we can safely assume that angels were put in charge of protecting Jesus. They helped him. The Bible says angels ministered to him. And one of them may have been dedicated to him as a guardian angel. So I hope that answers your question. And you know, you can always ask your dad. I bet he has a few thoughts on this as well.
Catherine, is that a good answer for you?
Yes.
Catherine, I don't think I asked you how old you are. How old are you, Catherine?
Five.
Well, you did a great job. Your daddy should be very, very proud of you. And I can see him right now. He is very proud of you.
Good job, sweetheart. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye,
Catherine.
See you
in a few hours.
By the way, after this hour, next hour is the game show, the big Christmas edition of the Catholic Answers game show. And our super secret guest is Carlo Broussard. So hang on for that. Thanks for coming in to say hello to Catherine,
Carlo. Thanks for inviting me. Good job, Horn.
Did you know
appreciate
why I was
it,
telling
buddy.
You to come in here?
Thanks for catechizing my child, brother.
Thanks for bringing her in here.
Doing
no
my
problem.
Job for me.
Nah, you're doing just fine.
let's go to Shane in Ohio. Next, Shane, thank you so much for calling. What is your question for Trent Horn?
My question is, why does the Father put water in the wine?
Oh, do you mean at Mass?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Why does the Father put water in the wine at Mass, Trent
sure.
Horn?
The what's called mingling of water with wine, that what we do at Mass, there's a lot of symbols in Mass that help point us towards bigger spiritual truths that always remind us about God and his love for us and how he became man and died for us, how he rose from the dead and now is present in the Eucharist. So ever since in the very early church, priests would mingle or put water in the wine before they would sell, you know, during Mass, before it became the blood of Christ when it's consecrated. And the reason for that is it's a symbol of the incarnation. When God, who is a fully divine nature, when God became man, he sort of mingled, if you will, that God entered into human nature and assumed a human nature so that human nature would never be the same again. There, in the 3rd century, there was a bishop in North Africa. His name was Saint Cyprian. And this is what he says about it. He said, "Because Christ bore us all in that he bore our sins, we see that by the water people are signified, while in the wine, indeed, the blood of Christ is shown. And when the water is mixed with the wine in the cup, the people are made one with Christ, and the multitude of believers is coupled and joined to him in whom it believes." So the water mixing with wine is a symbol of God becoming man, and it also reflects how we as human beings are united to Christ. Like in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches, abide or remain in me," that we want to be united to Christ because Christ chose to be united with us by becoming man. So is that helpful for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Shane, our assistant producer, Marie, wants to send you a present for that very, very fine call. And I know, I think she's got your address already, but we'll just hang on and she'll confirm that with you. We appreciate your call very, very much. Wow. It's exciting to see. Isn't even half of the kids associated with Catholic Answers. And it was just great to
I know.
See everybody
I was
here.
Hoping my kids take their nap. They always take it right about now, so I don't know if they were up. But I asked Matthew, he'll be 4 in January, "Do you want to come to Daddy's work and ask him questions?"
Yeah.
He said, "No, I have a meeting at work today. How about I come and then you ask me questions?" So
good for me.
And then as I left the house, he said, hey, can you take my cell phone with, check my emails before work?"
Did yes, he I really?
Can. He always wants me to check his emails before work.
Wow. Good for him.
He's ready to take this seat in a few years.
Right. Well, good. Very, very good. Some of these others who came in here today, I think, are
ready
as well.
We kept the tradition. It was Catholic Answers, and we had a Staples in this chair for at least like 45 minutes, so... The tradition lives on.
Hey, when we go to break, why don't you guys turn that camera around so all these kids can wave to the internets. And we'll get Carlo Broussard in here because we are about to start the first. Do you know this is the very first Christmas edition of the Catholic Answers quiz show? Coming right up with Carlo Broussard right after. Are they all waving? There they go. They're all waving. All right. Well, Merry, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks to all the kids who called. Thank you to Trent Horn.
Thank you, Cy Kellen.
You can find out all about Trent Horn by going to TrentHornPodcast.com. Up next, our super secret celebrity guest from Louisiana will be here for the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show.